Hello and welcome to this broadcast of Grace in Focus. My name is Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm really glad you've decided to join us today because we're talking about a really important subject, the subject of repentance. Many people teach many different things on the purpose of repentance, but we're in a series right now called The Power of Repentance, and we're trying to clear up exactly what it's all about. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through an important passage in understanding what it's all about. So let's jump right to our discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are continuing our study on repentance based on Bob's new book. It's called Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance. Our big focus is faith in Jesus for salvation. And a lot of people have asked, well, what about repentance? Don't you need to also repent in order to be saved? And we've talked about repentance a lot over the last 30 years or so, but we've not really had a whole book about it. There is a book by Zane Hodges called Harmony with God.
Yeah.
And it's a very popular kind of presentation of this. But your book is different. How is your book different from Harmony with God?
Well, basically, Harmony with God was dealing with some of the key texts dealing with repentance in the New Testament. What Zane Hodges was doing was trying to show, and I think he does an excellent job of it, that repentance is never a condition of everlasting life, but what it's a condition of is a harmonious relationship with God. So that when someone's not experiencing a harmonious relationship with God, they're experiencing the consequences of being out of fellowship with God. And so to get back in harmony with God results in an elimination or a cessation of temporal judgment. My book is different in several ways. For one thing, I discuss repentance in the Old Testament. For another thing, I discuss repentance in church history, neither of which Zane Hodges discusses. And one of the things I do is discuss more passages than Zane was able to do in his short book. And also, I deal with objections more. So Zane does the terrific job of establishing the basic doctrine. What I'm trying to do is defend it.
So it's kind of nice to have both books together.
I think that would be terrific because my book is a nice complement to Zane's book.
Right. And his book is available at our website, faithalone.org/store. It's called Harmony with God by Zane Hodges. You can also probably find it on Amazon and elsewhere. And your book is available now. You can buy it at our bookstore, also at Amazon. Now, you said a bunch of things before. You said being in a harmonious relationship with God and being out of fellowship with God. I don't know, maybe we should talk a little bit about that. Isn't every believer in a harmonious relationship with God automatically?
No, there are some people who teach that, but that's not the teaching of Scripture. You'll remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet in John 13, he finally comes to Peter, and Peter says, no, you're not going to do this. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And this was a fellowship term. He didn't mean if I don't wash your feet, you're not born again. He means that if I don't wash your feet, you're not in a harmonious relationship with me. That was, I think, an illustration of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that we need ongoing fellowship with God, and that is maintained by confessing our sins. But if we depart from the Lord and we get out of fellowship with God by walking away, like in Luke 15, the prodigal son departs to the faraway land. If we go to this far country, spiritually speaking, then we need to repent.
So repentance is about getting back. And now, we believe in once saved, always saved. We're not talking about losing your salvation. We're talking about an intimacy of your relationship with God,
right?
Basically. All right. Well, we've been going through a number of different verses that are important for repentance. And we're going to look at Luke 24:47. Let me start at verse 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, here's a quote from John Piper. Calling people to repentance is the reason Jesus came and the message he commissions his followers to preach. It's the only way anyone can avoid God's judgment. Given the supremely serious consequences of not repenting, it's important to understand what repentance is. Well, what is repentance in this passage?
Okay, in the quote you just gave, Dr. John Piper actually mentions Luke 24:47, and he says it's the message Jesus commissions his followers to preach. This is one of the Great Commission verses. And the Great Commission is found, most people think, in all four Gospels as well as in Acts 1:8. One of the things we need to understand is the Great Commission is not simply an evangelistic message. For example, in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples."
Right.
Well, making disciples is more than evangelizing. Mm-hmm. This is leading people in discipleship. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you." Baptizing and teaching are ministries we undertake once someone has been born again.
Right.
Discipleship is basically a ministry for the born again. Obviously, an unbeliever can come to a Bible study, can get involved in discipleship, but that's not what's in view, I don't think, in Matthew 28:18-20. So in the Great Commission in Luke, when he says repentance for the remission or forgiveness of sins should be preached, he's not saying that those who repent have everlasting life.
We shouldn't assume that he's describing how people are born again.
No.
Because the Great Commission takes a much wider view of the mission here. It's to disciple a person their whole Christian lives.
Exactly. And when we look in the book of Acts, the apostles did preach repentance, but they never said, "He who repents has everlasting life."
Mm-hmm.
And they never linked repentance with life everlasting. What they linked repentance with was the forgiveness of sins and avoiding temporal judgment.
So it's a discipleship issue. It's not necessarily a point of faith evangelism issue. It's a
exactly.
discipleship issue.
Yeah, now it could relate to unbelievers. For example, Acts 17:30, Paul says, "God commands all men everywhere to repent." And he goes on to say that God has appointed a day when he will judge the world.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that is pre-evangelistic. What he's trying to do is generate interest in Jesus. It is true, of course, that God wants all men to repent, even unbelievers. Because if an unbeliever repents, then they get out from underneath the judgment they're experiencing. For example, you remember with Jonah and the Ninevites, they repented and judgment didn't fall. There's no indication that they were born-again people. Maybe some of them did come to faith after they repented, but the issue was they escaped judgment. And you'll remember even in Sodom and Gomorrah, there's this interesting dialogue back and forth between God and Abraham, and ultimately God says, "If there's 10 righteous people, I won't destroy it."
Right.
Well, there weren't.
Right, so he destroyed it. So we're saying that this is about discipleship and not necessarily evangelism. But he says here, you need to repent. We're preaching repentance and the remission of sins. A lot of people think about remission of sins, that is the born-again experience, or that is the evangelistic message. But maybe we shouldn't assume that. Maybe we should take a step back in light of like 1 John 1:7-9.
That's a great point. And the other thing to keep in mind is when we study the Gospel of John, we find something interesting. The purpose of the Gospel of John, according to John 20:30-31, is that the readers might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing they may have life in his name. He's clearly writing to unbelievers, and he's trying to lead them to faith in Christ.
So basically what we're saying here is, like, if you were going to go to a book of songs in the Bible, where would you go? Chronicles?
Yeah, probably not.
No, you'd go to the Book
Psalms,
of Psalms,
right?
And if you wanted a book of nuggets of wisdom, where would you go?
You'd probably go to Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, yeah.
And so if you want to know how to evangelize, what book do you go to?
You'd go to John.
Because
yeah.
John says that's what it was written for.
Right, and what's interesting is the doctrine of repentance is notoriously absent from John's gospel. We only find it in two places. It's figuratively found in the foot washing in John 13, and it's found after Jesus rises from the dead when he says to the apostles, "Whatever sins you retain will be retained, those you forgive will be forgiven." There is not a single place in John's gospel where when Jesus is evangelizing, he says, if you believe in me, you'll have the forgiveness of sins. He doesn't tell that to Nicodemus in John 3. He doesn't tell that to the woman at the war. Where was she?
At the well. At the well.
And he doesn't say it in his sermons in John 5 or John 6.
And so that tells us that whatever repentance is, it's not necessary to be born again. If it was, John would have mentioned it somewhere.
Well, yes. And also, it tells us that the forgiveness of sins is not necessarily something which we would equate with everlasting life.
Right.
A person can be born again and yet unforgiven.
Right, and we see that in 1 John 1:7-9. The assumption is that believers who have everlasting life have to go to Jesus, walking in the light and confessing their sins in order to get forgiveness.
That's right.
Meaning forgiveness is something different from getting everlasting life.
Right. Now, there is, before we close, I want to make sure we get this, a positional forgiveness. We find that in Colossians chapters 1 and 2. He's taken our sins out of the way, having nailed them to the cross. And we have references to he's forgiven us all our trespasses. And I think there's a positional forgiveness in the sense that God has already forgiven us of all our sins and our position in Christ. But in terms of our fellowship with God, clearly that is not something that we have in the future. We have to do that day by day, moment by moment, as we walk in the light and confess our sins. And so repentance for the forgiveness of sins that they were called upon to preach
in Luke 24:47.
Right. Would be like Luke 15. Where if someone departs from the faith, they're no longer coming to church, they're no longer walking with the Lord, we need to call them to come back to the Lord for forgiveness.
And that's probably what Luke is talking about here.
Yes.
24:47, this other type of forgiveness, this ongoing forgiveness that's linked to repentance.
Right.
Well, if you're interested in what we've been saying, I encourage you to sign up for our magazine, Grace in Focus. It's a free subscription. Go to faithalone.org and sign up for free there. And be sure to pick up a copy of Bob's new book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, available now.
A big thanks to Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar for that great discussion. Now, you might want to go deeper on this subject, and if you do, I'm excited for you. During the discussion, Bob and Sean mentioned two different books, and I'd like to tell you how to get your own copy of both of these. If you come to our website, faithalone.org, that's faithalone.org, we have a great bookstore. And on the bookstore, we've got all kinds of books that you might be interested in. Specifically mentioned in today's broadcast was Harmony with God by Zane Hodges. You're going to want to get a copy of that. In addition, Bob's new book, which is called Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, has been out for a short time, but it's a great investigative journey through the Bible to discover what repentance is all about. This is a book that we've been needing for a while, and I'm excited that Dr. Bob Wilkin has finally finished it and released it out into the world. Now, on the website, we've got all kinds of other resources I'd encourage you to take advantage of. One little handy application that we don't mention much that's on our site is called our Church Tracker. It's a little app that helps people just like you find a good Bible-teaching church. It can be difficult to find a church that teaches the message of God's free grace, and this Church Tracker has helped many people locate and attend churches that do just that. All of that and more is at faithalone.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to continue in our series about repentance, so don't miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.